I'm Patrick's son. I went to this church when I was in high school, like in the youth group. Went to college, and then now I'm back. Just like for the weekend. But I work for a ministry called the Navigators at UC Irvine. The focus of our ministry is to know Christ and to make him known. So we really want to help students at the UC Irvine campus just to learn what does it mean to just really love God, and how does that kind of love change our lives, and how does that love also change the lives of those around us. And so, I'm here for the weekend, and we just wanted to take the time to bless you guys. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you guys for having us here and giving us the opportunity just to be able to, just to learn with you guys and to love with you guys. So if you're interested in hearing more information about us, right in the lobby right next to the doors, there's a little booth there that has some of our newsletters, some of our materials, and sign up if you want to hear more or get connected to our ministry. And so, anyways, with that, I talked with Pastor Robert Scott and Pastor Joseph about an opportunity where we can just come and just be a blessing and just to be able to even serve you guys. And so with that, I just wanted to say, like, can I have my team stand up really quickly? So this is Angeli. That's Claire, Mina, Kevin, and Michael. And, they traveled 300-plus miles. They've taken time off of their jobs, internships, their crazy schedules, or their, summer schedules, just to be able to come here and to love on you guys and to encourage you guys. And so I hope that what we do here is an encouragement today. I'll have them come up in a little bit, but for now I'll be sharing a little bit more about what we do and kind of the context of our visit. So I want to start out with a question, and the first question, the main question is, what does it look like to build kingdom culture? I looked on your guys' website, I talked to some people, and I heard the theme that you guys have is building kingdom culture, our identity, character, discipline, and lifestyle. So in that, I also saw there was a verse, we'll put it on the screen, Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. And it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, or of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In this passage, there's a goal in verse 12 to edify the body of Christ. And we edify it so that the people of God would not be tossed to and fro by the wind of doctrine, so by different teaching, the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, it can be a cruel world, and so Paul's writing to like build up the church. It's kind of the idea, it's like working out where you kind of want to build up your muscles so that like you can work on your car when it breaks down. It's kind of like the analogy I think of right away. There's kind of this goal of what does it mean to build ourselves up, for the occasion when it arises, and how do we propose by doing this? And so this is kind of interesting because I think. Normally, take that analogy that I just shared about building up, like, building your body up so that you can work on your car, right? It's like, I'm doing that because I'm afraid that one day my car's going to break down. But the funny part here is he's saying, build ourselves up, right, so that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, et cetera, et cetera. But then what he says here is to do this by speaking the truth in love, that the whole body would edify itself in love, verses 15 and 16. So it's kind of interesting because what we see at this point is a very counterintuitive statement. Because what we're taught is I need to build myself up to protect myself, right? But what he's saying here is, yes, we do want to steward ourselves, but the way we do it is by taking risks of love, is by speaking love, is by edifying ourselves in love. It's almost like this. I work at UC Irvine, and the students can definitely vouch for this. There's sort of this like competitive, implicit mentality that like you have to build up your resume in order to get a good job. And that's kind of like the law of the land. And so the way that you do it is you study really hard, and in order to study really hard, that means that like you've got to take the competitive edge towards other people, because like when midterm comes, it's a bell curve, so the lowest of the rank gets the F. So kind of scary, yet what Paul's saying here is you build each other up by love. And so it's kind of an opposite mentality where it's almost along the framework of saying, well, what if rather than building yourself up, you learn to love on other people? And what if by doing that, you end up being able to build yourself up and to be able to actually move forward? And so what does it look like to build kingdom culture? If there's anything I can speak on regarding what it looks like to build the kingdom culture, both in the church and outside the church, it would be love. And the reason why I say that is you don't have to be powerful to be a loving person. You don't have to be influential to be a loving person. You don't have to know things. You don't have to know the right people. You don't have to be cool. You don't have to be relevant. You don't have to be talented to love people. Yet it seems the one thing that we need is a component of love. In fact, I would like to propose today that if you take a risk to love people radically, that will invite the supernatural. That will invite the kingdom culture forward. And that catalyzes God's movement up in heaven, down on earth, wherever you end up going, as long as we're willing to be loving. And so I first thought of this a few years ago. We have a student leadership meeting. It's called Union. And at Union, at the time, we were praying for different students. And so one of the students that we were praying for, it was actually for her boyfriend at the time. He came to visit, and he wanted to... He wasn't in college. He was actually trying out for the fire academy, and so he had tryouts the next day on Saturday, and so he was completely nervous. He didn't know how he was gonna do, and this was kind of his like one shot into a career sort of deal, and so we got to pray for him, and I remember the next day during his tryouts, I was on my way to a meeting, and I remember thinking, oh, like it's his tryouts today. I want to encourage him. I want to pray for him. You know, I don't know what to do. So I pulled over. I pulled my car over to the side of the road, and I said, I should at least shoot a text message. So I said, hey, man, like, just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. I want you to know, like, you know, we want to see God, like, do amazing things during your tryout. I had no clue what to say, so I just had a verse in my head just come up, and I was like, okay, Habakkuk, you know, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He enables me to have the feet of the deer that I may go ascend the heights. And so I just texted that over. I just sent it. It was done. A couple hours later, I get this text message, and it's from my friend here. And it says, like, thank you so much, Walter. I got this text after my tryouts, but I passed. And so I'm like, okay, great. You know, like, that's cool. And so, totally anticlimactic. Like, I totally was going to think, like, this was, like, an impactful thing, you know? But the main thing was I took a risk to love somebody. Later on, we have our large group night, Nav night, and afterwards I'm talking to his girlfriend, I'm dropping her off at home because she lives in, like, the Harvard apartment courts, that they're, like, pretty far away. And so I was dropping her off. My wife and I were dropping her off, and as we were doing that, she tells me, Walter, the oddest thing happened. She goes, my boyfriend was incredibly nervous, and he was breaking down. He was panicking. And so the night before that, we were praying, and we were asking God for a promise verse to carry him through the tryouts. She goes, that verse is in Habakkuk. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He enables me to have the feet of the deer that I may go ascend the heights. He goes, that was the verse we prayed Friday night to proclaim it against his fears, against his anxieties. And during the whole thing, we were praying that that he would have a great tryout. And she goes, after the tryouts, we get this text message from you that you were praying that verse. And she goes, however in the world did you know that was the verse we were praying over that whole night? And I said, I have no clue. You know, I'm just happy because I came late, you know? And so I told her, like, I really don't know. All I knew was I wanted to pray for him. And I just thought of the first verse that came up into my mind, and I just sent it forward. And so anyways, the main point was I didn't know anything about what was going on in the situation. I just wanted to encourage the student and to love on him. Yet by doing that, little did I realize I was inviting God to do a supernatural work in the man's life. So we're going to pull up another verse, 1 Corinthians 12. In it, it mentions, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, it says this. It says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then it continues on. If you look at verse 13, it'll say this. It'll say, yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith, I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. So it's clear that not everyone's going to be gifted in everything, right? Yet, we're called to eagerly desire the greater gifts. And how? Paul says, I'll show you the most excellent way. If you have not love, I'm just a clanging cymbal. So, I want to propose to you guys today, what if rather than focusing on like figuring out what kind of gifts we have, which I do believe is important, we focus on seeing how can we just love the person in front of us? You know, what are their needs? And regardless of that, how can I ask God to be able to help me to love that person? In fact, Wayne Grudem, he teaches a class called Systematic Theology in Phoenix Seminary. He says this. He says, while not everyone has the gift of teaching, it's true that everyone is called to teach in some way. In fact, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, all were told to teach their children. So another way of saying this is that there's no spiritual gift that all believers have, yet there's some general ability similar to every gift that all believers have. In other words, yes, there are gifts that are unique to people, and we want to celebrate those, and we want to discover them, but I also believe, like Wayne Grudem says, that everyone can operate out of some general sense of a gifting. And I believe Paul, when he was writing this, says to desire the greater gifts, and to do so through love. In other words, the idea is to focus on loving people. And what if by loving people, we walk into the supernatural work that God has crafted for each and every person that we encounter? So how do we do this? Well, one portion of this that I think is interesting is in 1 Corinthians 14. And it says this. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And so one of the ways that he actually sandwiches this is by saying, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the greater gifts, especially that of prophecy. And that prophecy, when you do it, strengthens, encourages, and comforts. And so it's interesting because furthermore, if you look down, it actually says, it says it speaks to people. He actually says that it edifies the church, which is very similar to what Ephesians was talking about. And so I think from all of this stuff, the key question becomes, well, what is the prophetic? Why do we desire it? Why do we follow the way of love? And why does it lead us here? I'd like to propose this idea that the prophetic is speaking the truth in love. And like it says in Ephesians, that according According to Sean Bowles, who's actually he's a prophetic author and pastor, he says this. He says, you'll know it's the voice of God because it sounds like love. The voice of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor other people. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil. It rejoices in good. It rejoices with the truth. Just a really quick illustration of this concept of speaking the truth in love. I remember like years ago, and some of the students have heard this story too. My son was potty training at the time. Like he's sitting right there on top of my wife, Lisa, by the way. And so that's Caleb. And we were learning how to potty train, which, by the way, you're an awesome potty trainer, Caleb. He's really good at the toilet now. But I remember when I first started, we had a little potty thing, and he was excited to go pee, and the first time he just peed everywhere. And I remember going Caleb, Dad doesn't like cleaning up pee on the floor, And then so I cleaned it up, and from that point on he didn't pee on the floor. In fact, he didn't pee at all because he was so afraid of making another mistake that he didn't want to go pee anymore. And so I told him the truth. I told him, you're not supposed to pee on the floor. And I told him, I don't like cleaning up pee on the floor. But I didn't do it out of love. And so because of that, he was too afraid to go pee again. And so I remember it was a month later. We decided we were able to pee again. He goes to the little toilet, and he pees all over the floor still. Right? And I'm like, Caleb, great job, buddy. And I said, you peed on the floor, that's true. And yes, Dad doesn't necessarily like cleaning up pee on the floor. But I said, I'm so proud of you for taking a risk. And I said, you are going to one day be someone who doesn't pee on the floor at all. And so the reason why I bring that up is because the first time I spoke the truth, and it wasn't in love, right? And it didn't really set him up. But the second time, I still spoke the truth. Yet I didn't focus on the truth. I focused on who my son is going to be one day. I focused on his destiny. I focused on his identity. I focused on the dream that God has for him. All right? And even though it's a dream of, one day not peeing on the floor, he got to focus on that dream, and that's what got us through that season. And so this idea is speaking the truth in love as we prophesy is how can I encourage somebody by speaking God's destiny over them? Not about the truth of whatever that truth is, but more of what is the lens of love that helps project someone into a greater truth, into their potential, into encouraging them towards hope, into encouraging them towards faith, and into encouraging them towards love. And it takes us to be able to do that. And so with that, that's sort of the illustration that I have. That's the idea of edifying, I feel like, to edify the church, to build the world to come closer to Christ. We don't have to be relevant to see the treasure in people's lives. You don't have to be powerful or influential. All you have to do is be willing to ask God, God, what do you think is the treasure in that person? And take the risk to share it. If we're willing to take the risk, I do believe that level of risk that we operate out of to love people and speak into their potential does release life into them. And from there, the prophetic. And you know what? In fact, love covers a multitude of sins. All you have to do is just take the risk to love somebody. And so with that, I want to invite my team up. And so this year we decided, after that incident, we decided, hey, what does it look like to take risks to love people? And so this is my risk-taking team. Every week we'll go to the student center and we'll talk to a random student and we'll ask them if we can just share an encouraging word with them. And I'll tell you, we've had tons of moments where people go, oh my gosh, what they said, that's who I am. And they'll go, I was so depressed, but that word gave me hope for the day. We've had people, the first time I was doing this, I was at a Chick-fil-A restaurant, and we talked to the waitress, and I just gave her an encouraging word, randomly. I just felt like you're a holistic person. What can I pray for you for? She says, pray for my anxiety. I do it. A month later, I go back, and I follow up with her. I didn't really want to, but I felt like I should be a good steward of what I was doing. And she goes, you have no clue what you had done. She goes, I suffer from chronic anxiety attack. She said, I had a big panic attack that morning, and I was completely depressed, and I asked God for a sign of hope. And she goes, out of nowhere, you raise your hand, and you tell me, I feel like God wants you to be holistic, and that you value the inside and the outside. And she goes, you prayed for my anxiety, and I told my parents God answered my prayer that day. And she says, it's been 1 month since that day, and I just told my youth group I have not had a single panic attack. Right? And so anyways, we've just started seeing God do like crazy stuff, and it was just through risks of love. And so to do it, I felt like, you know, I invited my team up, and I've asked them to highlight and to ask God just for certain words for you guys, just to encourage you with, just so you could kind of see what this looks like. So, all right, who wants to go first? Nice.
All right, so for the man in the patterned shirt, I think those are flowers. But it looks like bamboos. Yes! Yes, I do have a word for you. So I felt like God was highlighting you, and oh, you can come here with me. Okay. Yeah, come here. You might as well, we're already next to each other. All right. So, oh, it's a bamboo. Anyway, so the word that I got for you, I had it for the image of like cherry blossoms and cherries growing on cherry blossoms. And so for me, when I think of that, I think of, like in Japan, there's like cherry blossom like watching. And when I think of activities like that, I think of like families coming together. And Japan's a really busy country, they like work. But like they take time to go watch these cherry blossoms. So I feel like in the midst of like being like a lot of busyness, a lot of things like going on in your mind, I feel like you have the courage and strength to take that rest, to rest and bring peace, and not only just for you, but for a lot of people in your lives. I feel like you're able to bring a family or a community to come together and take that time to like breathe, relax, and take that rest. And I think that's a really incredible gift, because a lot of people like worry about things constantly, like, oh man, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do about this? Blah, 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 blah. But I feel like you're comforting enough that it's like, hey, let's just take this time, take a deep breath, let's relax, and let's just enjoy the moment. Let's enjoy these cherry blossoms. Let's enjoy that we're alive today and that we are playing with you, and I feel like you're meant to bring up people. What's your name, by the way? I'm so sorry.
Wilson?
Nice to meet you. And I'm Angeli. All right, who's next?
This is for the lady in red. I believe your name is Christina. Yeah. Yeah. So I got an image of a train running through forest. And when I think of that, I think of something that is unstoppable. Trains, usually, like, they have one way. They know where they're going. And they stick with that way. So I just feel that you're someone who knows God very well. And you know your way is through God, and you just take that way to God. And I also feel that you're someone who carries a lot. Trains usually, but they represent strength. You can put a lot of load on them, and they don't stop. So I just feel that you're someone who's willing to serve others, even if there is a lot of load on you. You love others in a way that you don't really think. You're very selfless, that you don't think of how much you're carrying. You just want to serve others. You want to always give. You want to always get people through problems.
And the lady in the stripes, what's your name? Okay. I had an image of like building blocks, like a kid playing with the little blocks. And when I see a children playing, I see a lot of joy, and I sense a lot of joy from you. I also feel like that building process, it's working with very small tools, but then you can build something big. And I remember being a kid and playing with the building blocks, and there's just a lot of joy from that. And but also when you're building in real life, you have to put a foundation on the ground first. And I think that you have a very strong foundation, and then you can build up and up and be strengthened from your foundation in Christ.
for Cindy. Wanted to say this before I lose my train of thought, but I had this image of a home, a very warming home, you know. It's like a home in the pastures, and there's just like kids, and you're just playing, just having a lot of fun, just a lot of joy. I feel that from you. I feel there's just so much warmth that you give to other people, and I think that's what God gives you. I think that's one of God's gift for you, that you're able to share with other people. It's just so warm, you know. There's no cloudy days. It's a lot of sunshine. There's like a little chimney with smoke coming out or something like that. And when it's wintertime, it's a fireplace roaring in the back, keeps everyone warm. And that's what I see in you.
Okay, so I got an image for you. Yeah. So the image I got, it was like flowers or roses. And when I think of roses, I get this image of like you like kind of spread the love and spread like the smell disappear around you. So you always like trying to spread like the love to around the people around you, trying to like build community and get them all together. So they can't, all the people like to be like around you and kind of like learn and like be like around you. And also when I think about the flowers, I think about seasons. And sometimes the flower, it's in a different season. It has like a different, like sometimes it can be like fall and just like the flowers falling down. But like winter comes and then like spring at the end comes. So when I think about that, I think about like maybe there's going to be some season in your life where you feel like I'm not as effective. I'm not like, effective with the people around me. Or like I used to be like more than that, but trust me, one day it's gonna be like there's a spring is coming, and you will be like you're always gonna be like spreading love and like joy and happiness to the people around you, and you're always like to build like communities and bring people together.
I also got an image for you too. I got an image of a star, or like a star, like. A lot of stars. and when I think of stars, usually stars are like huge and like somewhere else, and we see them small. So I just feel that you're someone who like serves and loves others in like in the small stuff, that sometimes you feel that maybe they don't notice, but I just want to say that God sees you. God sees the small work that you do, even though it is big work. It is a big star. So God sees that, and I just want to encourage you to keep just serving others.
Yeah. I also had an image for you, like just a bird flying, soaring through the sky. And I feel like God is saying he's inviting you into a time of freedom and joy and peace, and he wants to encourage you towards that.
I have a word for the man in the blue polo. what's your name?
Albert.
Albert? Nice to meet you. I had this image of a computer. Maybe it's because of your glasses. I don't know. But I just thought of a computer. A computer with feelings, though. And the reason why I thought of this image is because computers have a lot of uses today, and people use computers a lot, and I think that makes me think that you're a very useful person, and you have a lot of uses and applications that others may need that you're able to give to those as well. Could be love, just could be generosity. I just have this sense of you're very helpful in some ways that maybe I can't specifically say at this point, but I just know it, you know. And again, a computer with feelings that's able to reciprocate things back to other people, just as much as they find use in you, I think you can also find use in others.
So I got an image for the woman in the back with the gray and the black. Yes, that's you. So I got an image of a marshmallow, and when I think about marshmallows, I think of marshmallows on fire. And which is really cool because if you put a marshmallow on a campfire, it gets that like almost like blue, like pink reddish thing, and the whole marshmallow is on fire, right? And that's really cool because when the marshmallow's on fire, it's super delicious because it's, and when it melts, it goes on the s'more like perfectly, and it melts the chocolate a little bit, and it makes the s'more, like completes the s'more, right? So I feel like when you're on it, like when you find something you're passionate about, or when you just find this thing that you really want to do and you put all this effort to it, I think that's just amazing, incredible. I feel like your deliciousness comes from that fire. And I feel that, that when you put effort in things, I feel like God sees that and he's super happy and proud of you because he sees that you work really hard and he sees that, or I feel that he sees that, that you just have so much love and compassion to give to others. And I think you're doing an amazing job. I have no idea what you do, but I feel like whatever you're doing an amazing job in that. And I just see this fiery marshmallow in you. If that's good. For the woman in, for the woman in yellow in the back, yes. When I saw you, the image of lemon squares came into my head. Now, I watch a lot of cartoons, and in one of them, lemon squares were one of the first snacks someone shared with another person and that they loved. And like when he ate these, he was like, oh my gosh, these are so delicious. I love lemon squares. And so ever since then, that person made lemon squares for that person. So I just feel like when people first meet you, you just have like this lemon square quality of you in the sense that like when they meet you, they're like, wow, this person's amazing. Like, I want to get to know this lemon square a little bit more. And I feel like you give that satisfaction and that sweetness. I'm not entirely sure what lemon squares taste like, but I assume it's like sweet, but like since like lemons are kind of sour, it gives it like little kick that's like, oh, nice. Yeah, so you have like this little surprise in you, like that little lemon square, like little kick when people first, not taste you like physically, but like taste you in like the sense like they get to know you.
I also want to add to that, also to the young lady in the yellow. So with yellow, and then Anjali brought up, for some reason, cartoons. And then I wanted to say something. I don't know if I wanted to say it, but when she said it, I think I kind of want to say it. I used to watch this cartoon show a long time ago, or I don't know how long ago, but it's called The Simpsons. And I don't know if I have a specific character to tie you, but the show as an entirety brought a lot of joy, humor, sometimes, like, even just a lot of life lessons from that show. You know, I cry sometimes watching that because of just how much I learned from it just growing up. And I feel this, you know, I think it relates to you because I think you have a lot of wisdom to share with others. You know, you have a lot of stories that you've had in your life that you can probably share with others as well. And it may move them to tears at times, too. But you can also bring laughter and joy. And so, just like The Simpsons, it brought me a lot of warm, loving feeling and wisdom, too.
For the man in the back in the sunglasses, sorry. When I see you back there, it makes me think of my brother. He does tech things. He'll do theater lighting, things like that. And he's usually in the background, but when you can't, so if he does lighting, if he lights a show, if there's no light for a show, you can't see the show. And so just thinking of my brother, I feel like God is saying, I see you, and that the work you do is important, and it's acknowledged. Another facet of my brother is that he's really grown strong in his faith through the years, and God has absolutely just carried him in his arms, and I think God is sharing that with you as well, that he's carrying you.
So it's for the lady in the green, in the back next to the gray. Yeah, that's you. So I got an image of a flag just flying there, and it was kind of like an odd picture because I wasn't sure like what's about the flag. But when I think about the flag, I get a picture of like freedom and respect. So I feel like you have a lot of freedom and you feel like of just like joy and just like you're just flying in the air and you're just enjoying life. At the same time, there's a lot of respect in you and the people around you would respect that. How you can like affect them. Like when I think about like how people look up to like the flag, they like respect and they know like how all the work behind the flag and all the freedoms they get and all behind it. So I feel like when people look up to you, they would like they see all the love and they see all the what's inside of you and they really respect that. And you just fly in the freedom and
So let's just give it a round of applause for this team. So cool. So I'll have you guys just take a seat then. So yeah, thank you guys so much. So I mean, how was that, you guys? That was kind of fun, right? That was fun. How many of you guys felt like encouraged? And I just want you to know, awesome. And so I just want you to know if you didn't get any words and you would like to receive words, we'll be around a little bit after service. We'll try to end it a little bit early so that you guys can receive from us. I'll be available as well. But in light of that too, we felt like, you know, what would be the point of just showing you guys how amazing this is if we didn't tell you we believe you guys can do it too? Again, you don't have to be powerful. You don't have to be influential. You don't have to be gifted. You don't have to be cool or relevant to be loving, to be encouraging, to change someone's life. And so with that, we're going to do a little activity, all right? And we're just going to ask God to give us some encouraging words for somebody. And so so a couple of things will be happening. You guys are going to be receiving a card, like a playing card. They'll be passing it out, so if you guys can go ahead and pass it out right now. You guys will be receiving one card, and then at the same time, you guys are also going to be receiving a post-it note. So if I can get my post-it people to pass out post-it notes. And at the same time, too, if you raise your hand if you don't have a pen. Does everyone have a writing utensil? If you keep your hand raised if you don't have a pen, and we're going to have one of the ushers give you a pen. So, yeah, if you're missing any one of these elements, please just, like, raise your hand and let us know. But make sure you have a card, a post-it, and a pen to write on the post-it. Okay, are we good here? So, just to share a little bit, it's been a privilege for me to walk with these students, to be able to hang out with them, and to see just the crazy risk that they take and, like, you know, we even had one woman who, like, we were at the student center, we talked to her. One of the students said loving, the other student said giraffe, and then on top of giraffe, I spoke into the idea of, like, I saw, like, the teething toy, Sophie the giraffe, where it's like, you know, it's like an older toy, yet it's still popular today. And so then we told the lady, oh, we feel like you're loving, and we feel like you're somebody who takes what's old and make it new. And she ended up telling us, like, yeah, what you said was true. She showed us a photo. She, like, what she likes to do is take old things, like old accessories, and, like, in, like, Pinterest, she, like, actually makes them look new, and she models them, and that's, like, how, that's, like, her hobby. So she's like, how did you know that? And we're like, well, God highlighted that, and he also highlighted that you're a loving person. She started to break down and crying. She goes, yesterday I had a falling out with one of my friends. It's hard for me to be there. She has cerebral palsy, and she says, my friend told me that she doesn't want to be my friend because I'm not loving. So all of a sudden she goes, what you spoke to me was exactly the opposite, and it gives me hope in the midst of this depression I'm going through. And so, anyways, these students have been doing some awesome stuff like that. All I have to say is, if they can do it, you guys can do it too. So, yeah. And so with that, we're going to do just a little activity, and to keep it real, just kind of simple and fun, I'm going to pray for us right now. And so just close your eyes, or, you know, lift up a hand just for receiving. I just want to say, God, I just want to impart just a download, God, from your heart into these people. In Jesus' name, amen. And so with this, awesome. And so that's it. It's just like, I just want to ask God. And I want you guys to ask God for one thing, all right? And I'm going to do it this way, is look at the card that you have, okay? And you're going to either have a red card or a blue card. And so I want you to know that that card, whichever one you have, if it's a blue card, corresponds to a red card. If it's a red card, it corresponds to, you know, vice versa. So if you have, like, the two of hearts, then someone else in this room also has the two of hearts. And I did it this way because I know a lot of you guys are pretty tight with each other. So we're not going to tell you who that other person is, but we're going to trust that God has an encouraging word for that person today. All right? And so with that, I want you to think, okay, God, someone else has this two of hearts. All right, I don't know who it is. God, give me an image that I can use to encourage them with. And we'll go through this step by step. All right, so I want you guys just to close your eyes for a second. All right? And I want you guys to imagine a palm tree in Hawaii. And imagine sipping, like, your favorite drink on a hammock. All right? Okay? All right, now open your eyes. How many of you guys were able to do that? Yeah? Like, it was pretty good? Okay, so that's, like, the grid of our mind. And it's like God can use that grid of our mind to give us something encouraging. All right? So I want you guys to close your eyes again. All right? Now, we know God wants to speak to whoever you have this card for, an encouraging word. And so I want you guys to think of the very first thing that you think of in that sphere of your mind. And I'm going to say this. Think of the very first animal that comes to your mind. So think of an animal. The very first animal that comes to your mind. Okay? So in your grid, it's just whichever is the first one that comes in your mind, that's it. Okay? And I just want you guys to know, like, God gave you that animal for a reason, to encourage whoever has that card, okay? And yeah, so you can write that down. You can write the animal down. If it helps you just to recall it. The main thing I want you guys to write down, though, is what we're going to do next. Is what we're about to do next. And you have the animal in your head. Now I ask God, what attributes of this animal are encouraging? So here's an example. Let's say I got, like, the picture of, like, a koala. You've seen that. Like, so for example, I'll go, what attributes of a koala are, you know, encouraging? Well, I feel like they're really close. Like, you know, I feel like a koala carries the baby. So it's like maybe they're really close. I see them maybe climbing a tree. So maybe this person is someone who, you know, is a climber of something. I don't know if that's metaphorical or whatever. Koalas are cute and fuzzy. Maybe this person likes to warm up my heart. I don't know. So those are kind of the things that we're thinking about. So I want you guys to think about the attributes of an animal and what about those attributes are encouraging to somebody. So, yeah. So think about those. Spend like a minute or two writing them down. For example, if you got, like, a giraffe, you could say, oh, a giraffe has a long neck. It can see far and wide. You know, this person has perspective. Mm-hmm.
So I have an animal in my mind.
Okay.
And I have the attributes. So what I am unclear about is the connection. So, the card is going to help me find out this what other person is going to say.
Exactly. Exactly. And they're going to do the same thing to you. So it's on the other side. Okay, cool. Does everyone have some stuff that they've written down? Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Praying for it, you can have a little big thing. Our pastors decided that we should have a love offering for Walker and Yadim. So, Pastor, can you come to come forward? Let's pray for it. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. Yeah, thanks so much.
So now that we just hold back a little bit.
All right, cool. So does everyone have something or at least kind of an idea? We feel good to go. All right, so I want you to go find the person on that card. And when you find that person... Oh, hold on a sec. What? I can't. Yeah, do you guys need more time? I think... Yes, the two of hearts finds the two of hearts. Okay, just a little bit more time. So we'll maybe take another minute or two. Just chillax a little bit. Cool. Are we good on time right now? A little bit more time? Yeah. So, and I do want you to know, maybe some of you might be really shy, which I understand, or you gotta like bounce early. If that's the case, you can. The reason why we did post this was like, if you want to leave your card and you gotta like jet, that's cool. But I would say this is way more fun when you get to talk to them and see what you share and just see what happens, you know? So. All right, well, if we're good to go, yeah, well, So as you guys finish up, if you want to give your cards back to Michael and Kevin here. Michael's got Team Red, and Kevin's got Team Blue.
About the love offering, attention, please, real quick. I'm going to put Natalie's going to be standing at the door with a basket. As you walk out, just drop your offering in the bag.
Make the check to GCQ, GCCC, and then in the comment side for Walter.
Yeah, thanks, you guys.
Great exercise.
Yeah, I'm glad. People are still rocking. All right, who's still kind of going, sharing their stuff right now? All right, if you, as you wrap up, we could take a seat. Kevin and Michael will still be going around collecting cards right now. So you guys are good. But, I just want to... I think they're still going. Okay, maybe like another minute or two.
If you really want their attention, I gotta miss.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. I know. I'm so sorry. If you guys are cut mid sentence, please continue to share it after I share this, but we're just going to close in a little bit of prayer right now. But I just want to say, I just saw the room, and I feel like all of you guys are doing a great job. I feel like, way to rock it. And you know what? The fact that you can encourage someone that you have no clue who it is, but God gave you those words, like, you can take that wherever you go. We practice this stuff in restaurants. Our students have practiced this with their coworkers. And, you know, when we've done this, we've seen God just transform places and lives because we took a risk to love people. And so with that, I just want to say, like, you guys can do this. I know you guys can. I saw you guys do it. And I'm excited to see how, as we operate in love, we get to see God's amazing work happen. And so I'll pray for us, and we'll call it a service. Father, I just want to thank you for this time that we get just to love on each other, to see your face in it, and to see, God, how crazy... it just so happens to be that sometimes everyone just needs an encouraging word. And that encouraging word, when it's done in risk, that is the supernatural. That is building kingdom culture, because kingdom culture is rooted in love. And so, Father, I just pray, may you just increase in these people more opportunities to love whoever it is that they're talking to, whether it's their neighbor, their friend, the clerk, or somebody in work, God. I just pray for amazing opportunities to be a blessing and to change the world because they're willing to take a risk for love. And so I thank you, Father. I thank you for their hearts. And I just pray, may you go before them, parting the seas, giving them passage to walk through to see how good you are and how good our lives are. And we thank you, Father. And we pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So, yeah, thanks, you guys. If you guys have any need for prayer or you guys want prayer from our students, they'll be up here. So.